Do you remember yesterday, if you were here, we played a game? What game did we play yesterday? Anyone? Shout it out. Simon Says is a game where you have to do what you hear Simon say. You have to do what you hear Simon says. If Simon says it, because he has authority, he's the voice you need to listen out for. And you don't just need to listen out for it, you need to do it. And it's wonderful to hear some of these stories of people who are seeking to remember God's word. And I think of, you know, Jackie about to go into that exam, remembering, you know, that she needs to be strong and courageous and not be afraid. And she's reminding herself of that so that she can do it. She can go without fear, but with courage, and keep pressing into that. And, you know, when Wendy's saying she knows that God is her provider, she's going, okay, so I'm going to trust that he will provide. There's a connection between our hearing God's word and our doing of it. And that is so important. And I want to really press in this morning into how we get better at doing. You know, the Sermon on the Mount has a lot of doing verses in it. So one of the most famous, Matthew 7 verse 12 says, so in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. Do you know, I taught my kids this once at JoJo's ice cream parlor. And we got a waffle, one waffle with ice cream and three spoons. And I said to them, do you remember this, Amy? Yeah, we were talking about it the other day. You don't remember it, Jonah. Well, we might be able to go there again and do it again because you were quite small. But this is what you don't bite like. Okay, so they got three spoons. And the deal was that if they wanted a spoonful, thanks, Steve, if they wanted a spoonful of waffle or ice cream, if they felt they wanted it, then probably their siblings did too. So they had to use their spoon to give a spoonful to their siblings. They couldn't actually take one themselves. They had to give it if they wanted it. And you know, it was the most lovely meal of eating waffle ice cream with one plate that I can remember, because there was such a kind of, oh yeah, would you like, oh yes please, that would be wonderful. Oh, and there's one strawberry on the plate, and it was like, how are we going to do this, because whoever wants the strawberry would actually have to give the strawberry. And yeah, it was loads of fun, because they were thinking, how do we do to others what we would have them do to us? And of course, as they gave, then others then gave back to them, and the waffle went like that. So hearing and doing. Many of us here have been hearing words from the Sermon on the Mount in messages through the course of these past few months. But how are we doing? How are we doing at following through and remembering the things that God has been speaking to us? You see, Jesus said that wise people, wise builders, those who build in a way that can endure storms, wise builders, look what it says, the wise builder is like the man who hears God's word and puts them into practice. The foolish builder, who we'll hear more about tomorrow, hears God's word, same thing, but doesn't do it. Doesn't put them into practice. Maybe instead they do what they feel like doing. Maybe they do what everyone else is doing. But wisdom comes as we learn that God's way is the best way. Can you say that with me? God's way is the best way. God's way is the best way. And that is why Jesus says, if you want to build in a way that lasts, then you need to build on his word and do what his word says. Because with both the wise man and the foolish man, the storms come. It says in verse 25, the rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew. And you know, the reason why there were people with their hands up quite quickly is because we've all know what it is to have gone through storms. And maybe if you're very young and you don't quite know that yet, I can assure you, you will go through storms in your life. And we have to remember that as we think about the storms and the wind and the rain and the streams rising, the kind of floods, that actually there's kind of multiple attacks that sometimes try and take out our life and particularly our faith. One writer, Oswald Chambers, who just often says and makes some wonderful connections, he said these three things, the rain and the streams and the wind, reminded him of how the world, the flesh and the devil are conspiring to try and destroy his faith and his life. And we're in a battle, we're in a struggle, and we don't sometimes know when those things are going to hit. But what we do know, and this is the wonderful promise, that whatever you face, you can know safety in the storm. And here's the wonderful thing, whatever we face, we can know safety in the storm as we build together wisely. And because building on the rock is sometimes hard, sometimes not as quick. Do you see the Lego guy with him building really fast on the sand? And it's amazing what you can build quickly with Lego, and amazing what you can build quickly on sand. But on the rock, you've got to dig and put foundations in that take time, and it struggles. And sometimes it doesn't look as impressive, because the bit that's impressive is the foundations. The bit that's impressive is the stuff that makes it stand. It's the fact that it's on the rock. I've got another game that I'd like us to play. It's based on a well-known game. Do you know the game Rock, Paper, Scissors? Do you know that game? Okay. Rock, Paper, Scissors. How does it go? One, two, three. Rock, paper, or scissors. Okay, so let's try that again. Just turn to your neighbor and do rock, paper, scissors. Okay, so one, two, three, and then you do a rock or a scissors or a thing. Who won? Okay, what do you know? Okay, you got it? Okay, stop. Okay, stop. I am going to teach you a new game. Okay, wait. I'm going to teach you a new game. This game is called Rock, Rain, and Sand. Okay? Based on the wise man built his house upon the rock, the symbol for rock is this. Can you do this? Okay? The symbol for rain is this. Okay? And the symbol for sand is this. Have you got it? What's the symbol for rain? What's the symbol for sand? What's the symbol for rock? Okay. Here's what you need to know. Rock beats rain. That's what the passage says. Okay? Rock beats rain. So, okay? Next thing you need to know is that rain beats sand. Okay? So the rain, you'll see that more tomorrow, but the rain beats the sand. Okay? And then you also need to know that rock beats sand. Okay? That's what it goes on to say. The rock is always better. The rock is always better than the sand. Okay? So, are we ready to play? Think what you're going to do. Rock, rain, or sand. Which one are you going to go for? Okay, one, two, three. With your neighbor again. Go. Okay, which one did you do? Which one did you do? Rock. Why did you do the rock? Because the rock beats everything. The rock beats everything. Guys, listen to this, because life isn't actually a game. The storms aren't fun, but the rock really does win every time. The rock beats everything. So what is the rock? The rock is hearing God's word and doing it. Hearing God's word and doing it. It's putting into practice what Jesus tells us. It's following his instructions. And it is amazing how often, individually and as churches, that we can sometimes think, oh, well, Jesus says that, but I think we kind of got a better picture than he does. Or maybe he means we can do that, but we can do that at another point. We'll do that later. Not now. That is daft when rock wins every time. The best way is always Jesus' way. And I want to very briefly just take two things in the Sermon on the Mount and help us see how we don't just want to hear these things, we want to do them and keep doing them. They're two very simple things that we've spoken about over the course of this series. They're two things that are actually massively wonderful and can transform your life, your marriage, your family, your friendships, your work situation, can transform churches. If we do them, they make such a difference. The problem is these two things. So often, we don't do them. Or we think we will do them another point, but just not now for X, Y, Z reasons. And when we don't do that, when we don't do them, when we delay or we disobey, because following Jesus is obeying him, when we disobey, do you know what? It's devastating. It destroys our lives. It destroys marriages, families, church families, friendships. So do you want to know what these two things are? Well, let me say what storms they help us in. The first storm is when somebody hurts us or makes us angry. Has that ever happened to any of us here? Does anyone ever hurt you or made you angry? I thought so. It happens a fair bit because the people around you are not perfect. On Wednesday, when I was thinking quite a bit and preparing for this time, we were driving along in the car and in the morning, and the car in front of us had a driver sort of pull out in front of him. The car in front was a van, and the car that pulled out was this kind of black car, and it just shot out in front of him, and the van had to slam on his brakes, and he leant out the window at this guy who had pulled out in front of him, and he shouted and yelled and was like, "What on earth did you do that for?" He was really cross. He was angry. Now, the car that pulled out was not right to do that. But can I ask you this? Was the driver of the van right to get angry? I mean, he could have had his car smashed up. He could have been injured. Was he right to get angry? Well, it's very normal, isn't it? To get angry in a situation like that. In fact, what happens so often is something happens outside us, a kind of storm out there, and what happens is it starts a storm in here. This can happen with your siblings. They do something and we're brothers and sisters in Christ. So it happens in churches too. Someone does something. They may already have done it on the weekend away, and you think, why did you do that? Why did you not stop snoring? Why didn't they come and help with the washing up when they'd signed up to? Someone does something, and in some way or other, it either hurts us or makes us angry. And I found that this storm comes back again and again and again and again. So is there a better way than responding like the van driver? Is there a way that Jesus tells us to respond? Something that he wants us not just to hear, but to do? And the answer is yes. What is Jesus' way? Well, listen to what he says in the Sermon on the Mount. He says in a number of places, this is the Matthew 5, verse 21. You have heard that it was said to people long ago, don't murder. Always good. Hope you don't do that. And do not murder, because anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But Jesus says this, but I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will also be subject to judgment. And again, anyone who says to his brother, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come offer your gift. I will put it like this. If you're in the lunch queue, with your plate, about to get your lunch, and you think, do you know what? There's someone here that I need to get right with. Leave your plate and move towards them. And Jesus says this. He says, verse 12 of chapter 6, as he's teaching us to pray, forgive us our debts, our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And he repeats it, for if you forgive men when they are against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive them, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. So when someone hurts you or makes you angry, how do you stay safe in that storm? What does Jesus say you should do? You should forgive. You should forgive. Now we know that. But doing it is the thing that makes us wise. Doing it again and 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 again. And when we not just hear Jesus' words, but do them, we build things that are strong. We build things that actually become really amazing that others see. We build a life that is like, how do you keep being able to get up after these different knocks? Well, I keep forgiving. How do you build a marriage like that or a friendship like that? How come you guys have been friends for all those years and haven't you ever kind of fallen out over something? Oh yeah, we fall out time and time again, but we forgive one another. How does that family, how come your siblings are still talking to one another? Mine, they've stopped talking long ago. Well, we forgive one another. How does this church work so that it feels like family? And you kind of love one another in this way. Everyone must be so wonderful. Oh, they're just imperfect people, I can assure you. But we forgive one another. Forgive, forgive, forgive. Is there someone today that you need to forgive? They may be here, they may not be here. But again, we've had a whole mess. I've not been able to do justice to this theme, but we've heard God's word. Let's do it. Let's do it. If there's someone you need to forgive, forgive them. Don't delay. Why do we forgive them? It's not because they deserve to be forgiven. It's because we have been forgiven. That's why we forgive. So, rock, rain, sand, which one wins every time? Rock. So forgiveness wins every time. It's always the answer. Always wins. The other solutions? Kind of the frosty chill, the bitterness, the resentment, anger, kind of withdrawing, yelling, getting your own back. All those, actually, a lot of people around you might say, oh yeah, gossip. All those, they're not the answer. What's the answer? Forgiveness is always the answer because it's the rock. Okay, do you want to know the second massive thing? Second thing that I'm sure you know, but again, I find that I need to keep not just knowing it, but doing it. Do you want to know what Jesus says? Jesus gives us something that is a real rock when we're going through the storm. And this is the second storm I just want us to think briefly about. When things make you worried. Anyone here ever might get an email or a phone call, or I might do something that doesn't quite go as I was hoping it. All I can think about is that thing. And I'm worried about it. And this sense of kind of, oh, how's it going to go and what's going to happen? And for you, it might be something at school, a friend that you find, I don't know that how it's going to go tomorrow at school with them. Or it might be an exam, or it might be a work situation, or a deadline, or a kind of a financial challenge. Or it might be something that meant you haven't got work at the moment, or a health situation. Things that can cause us to worry can be all kinds of things. It may even be what's going on in our world. There's plenty to worry about. Do you know what Jesus says? In the Sermon on the Mount, he says this. Do not worry about tomorrow. Matthew 6:34. Should we say it together? Do not worry about tomorrow. Okay, honesty time. Who here thinks in the last, week? In the last week, you might have sometimes worried about tomorrow. Okay, so we got some work to do here, haven't we? Because we all knew this, but yet we've found that what's happened is that we've worried about tomorrow. Now this one's a bit more challenging in some ways, you might say, because actually you say, hang on, David, there is a whole lot to worry about. And worry isn't so much a doing thing, worry is a feeling thing. So Jesus, how can you want me to do this? Because how can I change what I feel? Well, Matthew 6:34 isn't the only thing Jesus says. He actually has a whole section in the Sermon on the Mount about this, not worry. Shall I read some of it to you? You can turn there if you've got your Bibles. You might be familiar with it. In verse 31, he says this. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For pagans, that's people who don't believe in God, run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. There's trouble every day, Jesus says. So that's why we kind of sometimes get worried about tomorrow, because we think there's going to be trouble tomorrow, and there will be. But Jesus tells us some things here very clearly which we can do, which means actually we don't need to worry about tomorrow. So what does he tell us to do? He says, you can trust God. He says your heavenly Father knows that you need them. So why can we trust God? Why can we trust God? Because he's our heavenly Father. We're a family here, brothers and sisters. And God is our heavenly Father. And he's good. And he's great. And he can provide for us. Like Wendy was saying, when we think, I don't think anyone can provide in this situation. He can provide. He's the one who can be our guide and give us purpose when we think this seems pretty out of control here. And as Taylor's walking on the street, he can remember, no, God has a purpose. He's going to help me. He's with me. God is our heavenly Father. And he knows what we need. So we can trust him. But trusting is a doing word. It's like Jackie going into that exam. It's her saying, okay, God, I am a bit worried about this exam. But I'm remembering this word and I'm trusting that you're going to be with me and I don't need to be afraid. I'm going to have courage. And so I find so often when I get worried about something, what happens is often I've made that thing very big. It might be a thing in a relationship, and suddenly that person becomes the place where I've kind of found my security in that relationship somehow, and so I'm worried that it might go wrong. Or it might be I'm finding my security in how well something's going and what I'm doing, and because that doesn't feel like it's going well, I get worried. And all these things that can be places we find our security in, and so we end up worrying about it, and God says, no, find your security in me. Trust me. And as you trust me, put me first. Don't let the thing you're worrying about become bigger than God. Who's bigger, the thing you're worried about or God? You sure? Who's bigger, the thing you're worrying about or God? God. He's always bigger. That's why he says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. I find when I'm worried about something, if I remember this and I think, you know what, God, in all this, I simply come again and say, I trust you and I want to do what you want me to do. I want to live righteously. And I want to seek your kingdom. I want to put you first. And then I know that God knows that I know that. And I try then to make decisions, not based on how to get around the thing I'm worried about, but how to put God first, his word first, to do what he wants me to do. When I do that, actually, the worry goes. I kind of center again on him and do that thing of trusting and seeking him and making him bigger than everything else. And so, this weekend, this day, this moment, I want to ask a very simple question. Even in just these two areas of forgiveness and trust, as you think about those storms of people who've hurt you or make you angry or of those things that you can worry about, are there things you need to do today which just come to God and say, yeah, God, again, I'm going to forgive. And I'm going to trust. I'm going to put you first. But let's not just hear God's word, let's do it. Not because the doing of it is the thing that saves us. Because actually, as we've noticed already today, we often don't do as we should. But the power to do the forgiving and the trusting comes because Jesus has done it for us. He said it's finished. He cried out on the cross and said, Father, forgive them. He forgave me and he forgave you so that because he's forgiven us, we can forgive. And as we see his love, we can know, boy, oh boy, our God does trust us. Our God does love us and we can trust him. He's for us. And we can remember that rock beats rain and sand every time. I'm going to follow this one who gave his life for me. And we can receive the power and strength to keep trusting him as we look to what he's done on the cross. So should we just bow our heads? God, I pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would be doing something amazing as we look to you, Jesus, the one who's forgiven us and the one who loves us and has power and has conquered death, who's secured our tomorrows. God, I pray you would just meet with us, that you would help us to apply your word, to do it. Lord, whether it's the forgiving thing or the trusting thing or maybe even both. Lord, forgive us for where we worry. Forgive us how we don't respond right when others hurt us. We respond maybe with anger or resentment. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, and do a fresh and wonderful, lasting work in us, we pray, as we obey you. In Jesus' name.